Astro al aire.
Assalamu alaikum and a very good afternoon to everyone. Yang berbahagia, Datuk Syahril Liza Ridwan, Managing Director of Khazanah Nasional, distinguished speakers, guests, and ladies and gentlemen. The theme of Khazanah Megatrends Forum 2018 is On Balance, Recalibrating Markets, Firms, Society, and People. It is indeed apt to discuss these matters at this moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we always talk about equitability. We wish to see everyone equal in all matters that matters. Certainly, in any society, we would like to see everybody as rich as each other. That is impossible, of course. We have rich people and we have poor people. But between the rich and the poor, there should not be too great a disparity. Otherwise, there will be no equitability. It is the duty of government to ensure that society enjoys all the amenities and the wealth of the nation equitably. This does not mean that everybody will get the same amount of money. There were some thoughts that through socialism, for example, the government can acquire all the means of wealth and by so doing enjoy all the profit and redistribute the profit to everyone equally. After 70 years, it is found that this is only a dream. It's not possible to achieve equitability that way. We found that when governments take over businesses, in the first place, they were not equipped to run businesses. And as a result, all these businesses fail. Then there is this idea that you should pay everyone the same amount of wage or salary. Now, if the supervisor's wage, the top level of the management's wages are the same as the workers, then obviously the top people will not find it attractive to work. Why should they work if they are going to get the same amount of money as the people under them, the workers and the other executives? And so after a long trial, this idea was abandoned. Now we have come back to the capitalist system. I'm not talking about political matters, but just to see how society tries to be fair to everyone. The capitalist system requires investment by the people with the money so as to make money for themselves. And when they make money for themselves, they have also to think of other stakeholders who are as equally eligible for the money that is being made. But as it happens always, the top management, the investors, the shareholders are getting a much bigger share of the wealth created by the business than the workers. If this disparity is allowed to continue, there will be tension. There may be even civil wars, and there will be other kinds of violence, because the poor will never feel comfortable, will always envy the rich. So it is important that we find ways of reducing the disparity in wealth between the rich and the poor. And we have to do this in a way that the rich will continue to invest and create wealth, and that wealth would be distributed also to the other stakeholders and the workers. In Malaysia, we have a multiracial population. People do well or otherwise based on their perception of things, on the value system that they have. If they are inclined to be materialistic, then they would go and strive to make more wealth for themselves. And this they can do if they invest in good business. But for those who do not see, who are not too materialistic, they are less inclined to make use of money to create wealth. For them, money is something that you exchange for goods or services. Money as capital is not something that they understand. Today's business are very much more complex than before. Only those who understand money and how to manage money can do well. But we do need these people, because they create wealth. They create so much wealth that a country can grow and prosper. But that wealth has got to be distributed equitably among the people of the country. We have to reduce, as I said, the disparity between the rich and the poor. And this we can do in many ways. We can, of course, pay higher salaries, wages to the workers. But when you pay higher salary and wages to the workers, then the costs of production will go up. And when the cost goes up, the cost of living will also go up. When this happens, of course, there will be unhappiness among the people, particularly the rich, the poor people, because high cost of living affects the poor much more than the rich. If we are to avoid increasing the disparity between the rich and the poor, then we have to ensure that the wages, when the wages go up, it does not cause inflation. This can actually be done if, when the wages go up, the productivity also goes up, so that the cost of production does not increase, and the increase in the wages will actually enable the wage earners to buy more than what they used to buy before with their lower wages. In other words, it is the purchasing power of their wealth that is important, not just the amount of money they get. We have seen in many countries people with very high income but very low purchasing power. This happens because attention is not paid to productivity. Instead, attention is paid only to increases in wages, higher income. Higher income with higher cost of living does not benefit the wage earner very much. It's therefore important that when we increase wages, we should also increase productivity. This is something that we have learned in Malaysia. If we want Malaysia to prosper and to grow, it is necessary that we manage lean businesses. If we do that, then the increases in wages that we give to workers in order to reduce the disparity between them and the management, then the increase will in fact increase their purchasing power, because the cost of production does not go up as the wages go up. Now, how can this be done? I believe that in a crisis, many managers learn to cut down on their costs, to have a leaner management so that the cost of their production will not go up. The other thing, of course, is that with modern technology, it will be possible to use new methods of production which will not increase the cost of production, although there would be some capital expended on the new methods such as robotics using the robots and the other means of improving productivity. This is what we should all aim for. For the government of Malaysia, we want to see not just cheap foreign imported things, but it must also be dependent upon our own capacity to produce. For the consumers, the most important thing is to be able to buy things of quality which are imported. Consumers do not care for the growth of the country. All they see would be the ease of obtaining or buying whatever goods that they need, whatever services that they need. But for the government, it is important that we try and ensure that there is equitability in the economy of the country. And this means, of course, reducing the disparity between the rich and the poor. Some approve higher minimum wage. Higher minimum wage in itself does not help, does not solve anything. We know of countries where people are paid in millions of currency units, but their purchasing power would be very much less than some countries where the people get less pay, but that lesser amount of money can buy more goods than those who get higher pay. This is something that we have to aim for in this country, because the government must try and ensure that everyone enjoys a good living in the country. We are today living in a world that is very fast changing. Certainly, economic management is not as easy as it was before. Many new factors are coming in. We are no longer doing the simple business of producing goods and services. Now money can be made in other ways, and it is up to us to learn how to make use of money in more efficient ways. Prosperity must be shared by all. It is no good having a very high personal income, per capita income, if that high per capita income is the result of a very few people earning huge amounts of money. Today in some countries, 2% or 3% of the people at the top earn more money than the 98% at the bottom. For two people, life would be good, but for the rest, life will not be good. So in Malaysia, we have to be very conscious about this. And we have to ensure that the different races in this country enjoy the same wealth as each other. They should not be separated because of disparity in their incomes. Malaysia has tried to introduce affirmative action, but of course, this has been translated or viewed as discrimination against some community. But this is not discrimination for no reason. In any society, there will always be discrimination. It is normal to discriminate in favor of the poor in order that they will enjoy a quality of life that is not too different from those with high income. If we really think about lean management and we apply new technologies like robotics or automation, then we may be able to reduce the disparity between the rich and the poor. We have been independent for now over 60 years. During that 60 years, the country has definitely grown and developed. We have more people who are rich now than ever before. And our poverty rate, by some calculation, is zero. Obviously, it's a matter of fixing the level of poverty. It's not really zero rate. If you erase the level, then you will find quite a lot of people below the level that you have determined. So this is why we need to recalibrate, to measure again. Do we get really something real when we talk about GDP and per capita income? I have always felt that calculation on the basis of averaging is not very accurate. We can find a person drowning in a river that is only 2 feet deep on the average. Or if you have 1,000 people and one of them is a millionaire, the average income of the 1,000 is 1,000 ringgit. But only one millionaire. The rest have no money at all. That's the average. That is why you need to find other indicators of the wealth of nations. If we go only by per capita income, we may have equitability, but in fact, there is no equitability because the per capita income is due to the very high earnings of the top few, while the bottom has hardly enough to buy food or to seek shelter with a roof over their heads. So I'm very glad that Khazana has called this forum in order to discuss about recalibration. I hope that in calibrating anything, the standard must be such that it applies to what is really happening. But the government, for its part, must work towards rebalancing the nation. Recently, we have had a change of government, and we believe that the previous government did not care much about the equitability in the wealth of the nation. We have promised, this new government has promised, that it will do a lot in order to correct the imbalances that is found in our society. In order to do this, we need to have more professionals running government institutions, government companies, and we should have good governance and management in the business sector. If we do this, I'm quite sure we will be able to grow the country much faster. Malaysia will be very friendly towards the private sector. We will help them to make profits when they invest in this country, be they foreign or local. I would like to explain that we allow and we accept and we encourage foreign direct investment. Foreign direct investment to us means bringing in capital, technology, setting up plants in Malaysia, employing Malaysians so that we can have the benefit of the investment in our country. We will be very hospitable to all investors, whether foreign or local. But most importantly, it is about creating employment and opportunities for our people. We do not consider the purchase of land in order to build towns or settlements for foreign people using foreign labor as direct FDI. So we are not discriminating against any particular people or country. We want investments in this country to benefit not only the investors, but also the people of this country. So we welcome foreign direct investment because we are sure they will contribute towards the growth of this country. We have done this before, we have grown, but now we have to revive it because we still feel that foreign direct investment definitely has a role to play in the development of Malaysia. We are ready to listen to investors about their unhappiness or grouses or suggestions so that we can improve the environment for them to make investments in this country and to profit from their investment. We will help them as much as we can because for the government, foreign direct investment or even local investment is good for the government because normally we don't invest a single cent, but we collect 24% of your profit when you do well. So that is our objective. It's not altruistic. We have an agenda and we want to ensure that this agenda will result in growth of wealth in this country. I would like to say thank you to all who participated in this forum and who have given us a lot of ideas. I've had a session yesterday with Mr. Yilmaz and Mr. Singlish, and I learned a lot yesterday from them. I'm quite sure all of you who participated here also learned a lot from them. They are, of course, well-known economists, but they are advising sometimes people who do not know anything about economies. That includes me, of course. Nevertheless, even an ignorant non-economist can understand what they are saying. And I think we can benefit from them through their views and discussions, and we may adopt some of the ideas that they propose. So with that, I would like to say thank you very much for giving me this task of delivering a keynote address. I have been delivering keynote address morning and evening and sometimes at night also. But I hope that I can learn more from your discussion than you can learn from my keynote address. So I'd like to say thank you very much.